Let's see what the markets are saying before your next investment. This is RSN 927's Futures Watch with Trent Masenhelder.
And a very good morning and welcome to the Futures Watch here on RSN 927. Quinny is back from the tab. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I'm very well and I'm just waiting for the shark to start dancing because last time I heard this song and saw him at the same time, he was doing some magnificent things on the Whalers dance floor, so I just don't want him to wind back the clock here.
McSharky making his debut on the Futures Watch. Shark, good morning. How are you?
I think I was on a podium, Mace, that night and had the shirt off with Quinny, bit of body paint. It was great scenes, absolutely fantastic.
That sounds about right. That does not surprise me one little bit. All right, boys, we had a great weekend of racing. We're all about finding winners from a futures point of view here on the Futures Watch, obviously. Shark, what are the few you sort of took away from the weekend?
Look, I think most of the conversation after the Maccabi Diva was around Grunt and which way he would go. And Quinny, no doubt it buggered the markets up to a degree from your point of view because everyone immediately went, oh, well, it sounds like it's the Caulfield Cup. We'll firm him up there. And well, the original plan or prep has sort of been the Cox Plate. We've heard this morning on Racing Pulse the last hour with Fellgate that Cox Plate is back on the agenda. So no doubt there'll be a few punters that probably took the wrong lead there?
Potentially may have followed Mick Price, but we'll take a listen to Damien Oliver now, and on the back of that, we'll have a look at the market.
We'll listen to Mick Price, in fact. Mick Price on Racing Pulse with Michael Fellgate a little earlier.
Oh, look, I just spoke to Damien about him. I've been honest as I can be with the horse. I haven't had a really good feel on which way we should be going. Obviously, there's two different paths. I think that the path we're going to take sets him up. Probably for the autumn more so, but it still keeps him in, they're all Group 1s, including, obviously we go through the Cox Plate.
So there you go, Quinny. Grunt is now going to the Cox Plate, bypassing the Caulfield Cup. What's that done to your markets?
He's been 51 into 26 for the Cox Plate, and I think the school of thought is that they're all running for second and third behind the Wondermare Winx, who's now $1.30 to win the race for a fourth straight year. We know you've been steering every man and his dog into Humidor running a place for the race, and Humidor has been $6 into $3.33, so stop smirking, Trent, because you've got a shade of overs. But there's no reason why Grunt won't be very prominent there as well, and he's now a $5.15 chance to run in the top three in the weight for age feature. Shark, he was brilliant on Saturday. How do you assess him, and how do you anticipate he'll handle Moonee Valley?
I don't know how he'll handle the Valley. He is a big horse, and he's got a big stride, and we've seen him just battle a little bit at a shorter distance, albeit at Caulfield in his two runs this prep, but off the top of my mind, he was a bit shorter in Cox Plate markets before the Lawrence and the Memsie run.
He was 26th to win 6th place at the start of the campaign.
Okay.
And then he did get as low as 21 and 550, but then he ballooned back out to 51. So if you've been watching the markets, you've had some fun along the way. He was a runner that Dean Lester identified with you on the Crystal Ball program before the spring as maybe one that could take the next step. And as a result, there was some good money, especially the place for the Cox Plate.
So he will go Underwood, Caulfield Stakes, Cox Plate, and then the Emirates. I reckon the Emirates is right up his alley. That just seemed, the distance at Flemington, he loves Flemington, obviously. We've seen him struggle a little bit around Caulfield. Now, whether that's just because the distance was unsuitable or not, but I've just got a little bit of a question mark around Moonee Valley, but you'd certainly consider him a top three or four player at the moment.
My concern, if he gets that far, would be his sixth run.
Deep into a prep, isn't it?
Sixth run for a new season four-year-old, all at weight for age, banging into the big boys and girls. That is a really tough prep to set a young lot.
So what would you edit out? Would you avoid the Cox Plate in a clash with Winx?
No, I think you have to have a go at that.
Only three once?
And particularly if he does improve his form when he's back at Caulfield over a longer trip. I think that's where you just have a really close look at him because the Underwood is shaping up as a really strong race.
Yep.
So I think that'll be a little defining moment for Grunt. If he backs it up in the Caulfield Stakes and runs well, you have to have a go at the Cox Plate. I know the temptation is there for the Emirates and back to Flemington 2000, but tired horses potentially at the end of the prep.
I'm sure Mick will pull the pin.
It's just one to have a look at.
If he comes through the Cox Plate and he seems a tired horse, I'm sure Mick won't have any hesitation to pull the pin. Let's move on, boys, because we've got a lot to get through. The Caulfield Cup, from a weekend point of view, Shark's got Kingsville Dream going for phone numbers. What'd you make of his performance on the weekend?
I thought he was fantastic. I think the difference, people are looking at his Lawrence and his Memsie run thinking, he's run so well at 1400, he's just going to go to 1600 and win. Well, potentially that was an option, but the tempo of the race is always the determining factor with a horse like Kingswell Dream, who's racing at a distance well short of his best. He's not exactly ready to go and win yet. His grand final day is Caulfield Cup Day. In the Lawrence and the Memsey, he was able to crab into the race on the back of horses and get little cheap tags. The tempo they ran at in the Maccabi Diva meant that the field stretched out. He was midfield and having to work to get into the race and chase and make up that ground. And that just took away that punchy finish that we saw. And we saw it with Humidor as well. A couple of horses through the Memsey that had that turn of foot over that 1400 where they were able to, you know, sort of get closer in a bunch field and use that acceleration. I don't think it took anything away from his Caulfield Cup prospects. In fact, it probably just confirms how well the horse is going. Turnbull next time at 2,000, then into a Caulfield Cup with a, you know, 5 kilo weight drop off weight for age. He is still without doubt the horse to beat, and you know, very generous the people at the Tab have wound him out, you know, to $5.
Quinny, so, what's the market going after the weekend for the Caulfield Cup?
Well, he did drift, and I think that is the head scratching aspect from the weekend's racing, where it was the ideal Caulfield Cup lead up, and for mine, we've got Avilius doing wonderful things in Sydney, and Avilius has firmed from $13 into $8 to win the Caulfield Cup. Avilius also popular for the Metrop 4 into $2.80. But Kingswell Dream at $5, Avilius at $8. I reckon both of those runners will start favourite on Caulfield Cup Day, and it could be the greatest quinella since Elstrom nosed out Maccabi Diva in 2004, because I just think those two at the moment are head and shoulders above the others, but obviously a lot of water to go under the bridge between now and then.
There are two runs that I liked from a Caulfield Cup point of view from the weekend, but they probably both want wet tracks. Egtard in Sydney I thought was very good, and John Snow I thought ran terrific in the Maccabi as well. I thought he went really well, but as I said, they probably both want a wet track, which at this time of year in Melbourne we're probably not going to get. Melbourne Cup-wise, we saw Kingswell Dream. Ace High I thought ran really well. He looks like a dead set stay to me. He's pretty dour at the moment. Avilius is going really well. Order of the Garter was a nice run. First up, John Snow, we already referenced. Jarmay, well, yeah, it's been supported, but probably doesn't have the class to win a Melbourne Cup, I would have thought. And Shark, can you get your thoughts on Tozel Basil's first up run here in Melbourne?
At face value, just looking at the race, he was disappointing because he did get Kingswell Dreams back from about the 600, but he got to the 400 and he was just sort of going up and down in the one spot. Go a little deeper and look at the sectionals. He's actually run really, really well between the 800 and the 400. I think he's run out of fitness. You got to remember, both he and Kimono only have had about 3.5 weeks of work. The quarantine situation in Japan meant that they were in quarantine for a week, then out in no man's land, and then back in quarantine, and then in quarantine with no work for 2 weeks, and then out to Werribee where they had a gallop and a half. So they've had a disjointed preparation. We saw it with Kimono first up at Caulfield when he peaked at the 200, improved on Saturday.
Ran really well. Yep.
Down the straight. I think we'll see significant improvement from Tozen Basil next time. I wouldn't be riding him off just yet.
Yeah, Caulfield Cup still a chance, would you say?
100%.
Beautiful looking horse. That makes him win, but certainly does help a little bit. Quinny, what's the Melbourne Cup market after the weekend?
Kingswell Dream is a $13 favourite. Magic Circle on the second line of betting now also at $14. There has been good support for Latrobe in the last 24 hours, 31 into 26. Obviously ran second overnight, and Lloyd Williams has confirmed will be coming for the race that stops a nation.
Speaking of Magic Circle, Marwin Kukash, he is your man, Chuck.
Love him.
You're a fan. He's already said if he wins the Melbourne Cup, he's going to have an interesting post-race celebration, and it involves taking his clothes off, which again is right up your Kirstie Alley.
Right up my street.
Yep.
Mace, I don't need to win a Melbourne Cup to do it either.
He's an interesting man. It'd be great to have him out here once again. The Cox Plate, Winx, well, she did what she always does and found a way to win. She looked a little bit perhaps in trouble coming around the turn, but found a way to just win by about 3 or 4. Who's going to be around to take her on? We know Grunt's a confirmed starter. Humidor, I thought, was fine on the weekend. I've got people knocking Humidor's run. He got Polax. And
you're not getting nervous? Because I've never seen a man declare something like you have place in the Cox
Plate. It's unusual for me because I'm not very bullish normally, but I just think there's no one else around that can really, you know, is there to run a drum. I think Humidor's still a very safe bet. I thought his run was fine. Shark, what do you think?
I thought his run was fine, yeah, as well. His sectionals were good between a certain part of the race, and then, you know, he just didn't power on through the line. But again, the race was a different race to the Memsey. So you've just got to factor that in. We know he's a big race performer, and we know he's pushed the mare before. My worry with Winx at the moment, if you're looking at the shorts and thinking, you know, she's over the line, is that flat spot is well and truly evident, and it's probably more pronounced this year than it was last year. She took a long time to get going on the weekend, and Le Romain, I know he's been competitive at Group 1 level and whatnot, but he's not our best Group 1 horse, particularly at a mile. There are better horses around than him, and he made her work. I'm worried come Cox Plate Day, Mooney Valley. I think she's gettable in
okay.
the Cox Plate.
Who? Yeah. Who, though? Who can get her?
Oh, I want to see how Unforgotten goes in an Epsom. If she wins an Epsom, I'd be right in her corner.
She'd be interesting if a Chris like Waller-trained horse knocked off Winx to win a fourth Cox Plate.
Like Winx Mac 2, she is. Very, 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 very good mare. And you never know. You know, there might be a horse emerge in the next couple of weeks that you know, really puts a hand up. D'Argento is an interesting horse if they want to go that way. I don't think the likes of Bent Battle are good enough.
No.
But the more varied form that we get coming into the race, the more question marks there are, then there's the barrier draw and everything else. I wouldn't say she's over the line just yet.
Probably need a front-running bias or something like that, though, to work against her as well.
Or a wide gate. You know, if she gets pulled out,
firm track.
She has the last choice in the barriers and they've got one or 12 or whatever it is, it's not ideal. And they will ride as much to win the Cox Plate as they will to sort of make her work. If there's an edge to make her work, rival jockeys will make her work in a Cox Plate.
So she's not over the line. The $1.30 is no good at the moment.
I wouldn't take a $1.30.
Okay, no. Quinny, what's the market? What price Unforgotten in the Cox? I'll let you
yeah, I'll
find
bring that
for
up.
Us.
While I do that.
$26. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. Should have been a shark. He's clearly on.
What did you make of Kimentari? Will he win a race this campaign?
He's frustrating.
They'd love a mulligan with
Can
their
I
campaign
answer this?
Path.
Can I answer this? Because I've been in this corner from not day one, but a long time. He's a very good horse. He's not a star.
No.
He's won 4 of 15. Now, he's not a star. Horses that win 4 of 15 are not the elite. He's a very, very good horse. And I think those two gut busters that he had leading into the Maccabi, he just looks flat to me. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to the paddock.
He's had some tough runs, hasn't he? And look, it's a shame because he is so talented. As we saw in the autumn, you know, his Hobartville win was brilliant. Randwick Guineas win was brilliant. He was very good in the George Ryder. The deeper you go into a prep with his horse, though, it's not as if he gets better and better.
That's right.
So I'm wondering that Maccabi run on the weekend, what that takes out of him and what they do with him next. Do they
go back to the
go
Epsom?
To an Epsom,
yeah.
Or do they try something different, freshen him up, and maybe roll him down the straight in a Dali for really fresh? He's a stallion prospect, no qualms about that. But he's probably got to get that second and third Group One win. And now they're looking
in open
going,
company.
Well, where do we get it from
against the older horses?
Waller is such a freak in those big handicap miles, and he's got three or four heading there. Well, more Kaonic Perret. Whether it goes there after the weekend, not too sure. Unforgotten, D'Argento, like he's attacking that race with big numbers, with horses that have been set specifically for it, whereas Kimentari's sort of going there a bit battered and bruised after rocking around in wait for age races. It's not an easy position for James Cummings to be in.
I tweeted this on the weekend, and I was pretty happy with my tweet, and I got a lot of likes, so the masses
agree.
Therefore,
others were as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I reckon Avilius is the best horse in the Godolphin stable.
Yep,
that's just my opinion. But and obviously, Elise, she's a star as well, but unfortunately, he's on the sidelines. Let's move on to the Caulfield Guineas. Anything from the weekend stand out to you? Brutal may be going to the paddock. Interesting to note. No certainty to go, let alone the Caulfield Guineas, but to go around again this spring.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. He's only three starts of the three wins, and he was pushed there on the weekend. I think he's a false favourite in the Caulfield Guineas. I don't think the Caulfield Guineas winner will come from Melbourne. I think you're shopping really well with the Autumn Sun and Graf at $6.50 and $10 if they want to go that way with Graf. I know the Autumn Sun is probably heading that way. I still think he's the horse to beat. We don't have a horse in Melbourne at the moment that's operating at that sort of level that has proven Group 1 form like the Autumn Sun.
Yep.
I think he's well and truly backable at that $6.50 at the moment.
Quinny, what's the market?
Yeah, he's $6.50, the Autumn Sun. I reckon there's every chance he could go bang, 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 win the Golden Rose this Saturday, come to Melbourne and win the Caulfield Guineas. And Chris Wallace mentioned they're looking at the VRC Derby as well, where he could go around almost an even money favourite if he has knocked off those two features.
Well, it's really interesting because on his dam line, he's bred to get that sort of middle distance. And we know you don't have to be a genuine 100% stayer to win a Derby or an Oaks, particularly in the spring. We saw it with Prized Icon last year. So, yeah, I think that's a great plan for the horse. He's a beautiful, long-striding horse. I think as long as he adapts to the Melbourne way, and there's no reason to believe that he won't. I think he is probably the top rung of the Colts going around at the moment.
We mentioned that there's not a lot of Victorians really putting their hand up. A couple I want to throw at you and get your thoughts on. Declaration of Heart, I thought, was very good again at the weekend. And I think Ocean Knight might be looking for the mile too.
Yeah, I think so. I just doubt whether he has the class at this time of year. We might see a really improved horse in the autumn with Ocean Knight. Declaration of Heart's very talented. The ride on Saturday, he just got into an awkward spot way too far back, and he couldn't get into the race from there, but he ran home really well. His splits were great. He is a horse that has had a number of little injury niggles over the journey, though. So always cautious, Quinny, of those horses that have got a bit of a history about bowling into them in these early markets, because you know, you're only a gallop away sometimes from another little setback. So he's a very talented horse, but I'll just wait till the day if you liked him.
Let's move on to the 1,000 guineas. And before we get into our conversation, this is what Chris Lees had to say about Smart Melody yesterday on Correct Weight.
The 1,400 metre race you mentioned, is that the guineas prelude, Chris?
Yeah, it is, Dean. Yeah, it's the path we've chosen to take with her. Whether she's too brilliant to step out to a mile, we'll see. But at least now she's been down the straight. If we feel that she can't run a mile off the back of the guineas prelude, we can always revert back to the to Flemington over the carnival.
Shark, she looks very, very good. That's my concern, though. Is she too brilliant to run a mile?
I don't know if we can say that just yet. She hasn't been asked to go any further than 1,100 to date, so she may be better as she gets out in trip. It's going to be fascinating to watch her in that 1,400-metre race in a couple of weeks' time. But look, her win in the Captain Tees was just brilliant. I was huge on the second horse, Music Bay. On time, she's a group class filly. She's a very, very good filly. So, and she quickened up with Sweet Melody, but Sweet Melody slipped into another gear.
Yeah, she saw her come in this
week.
See you later.
There you go. There's a proper horse. And she needed to do that because previously, Americana Magic, the horse she beat at Wyong, is a class two horse. So
Yep. Everything
looked great on paper. She's winning by 3 and 4 lengths.
On wet
track,
fantastic.
On wet track, she got onto a firm track against good opposition. And she was just as dominant. You know, you have to be a believer in her now.
Quinny, what's the 1,000 guineas market doing?
Well, she's a dominant favourite. She's $4.60. It's double figures or better the rest, headed by the well-backed Assertive Play at 13. Mm. But Smart Melody, no moral to go to the race. So they'll go to the prelude at next start and then decide whether they go to the guineas or whether they go back to sprinting races. So there's a lot of buy beware with the market at this stage. And if you do have an opinion on her not going the race, there might be betting opportunities. But if she goes there on the back of what she did on Saturday and reproduces that form, she'll probably start shorter than the current quote.
I think the most natural miler in that 1,000 guineas market, Assertive Play is probably one of them. The other one is Thrill Star.
Yes, I've got the long range ticket now, still going. I'm not going to throw it out.
She is just a classic 1,000 guineas style of filly. She's got good length. She's got a long stride. She's strong. She'll eat 1,400 and a mile. And she'll probably, you know, barring a setback, she'll be there on the day. And I'm tipping you won't get $13 on the day. So if you are looking at the race, thinking, I wouldn't mind specking one. She's as good as anything in that field.
What do you make of Seabrook?
Pass.
She's running in Sydney in the Golden Rose on Saturday. I think she needs to
go a lot better.
She needs to go a lot better. I thought her first up run was only fair.
She did a great job as a two-year-old, had a really, really good campaign, busy campaign. It's hard for those two-year-olds that are up and about at that top level, performing at the absolute elite level, to come back 3 or 4 months later and back it up straight away.
Yep.
We often see they come back sometimes in the autumn a little bit better than they do in the spring. Sometimes they leave it on the track at two. So a watching brief with her. I need to see her improve before.
She's already got a group on her CV. So
yeah, she's done her job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, let's move on to the Everest. And Red Zell, the pre-post favourite, missed the run in the shorts on the weekend. This is what Paul Snowden had to say this morning on Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate.
It's possible that he sort of got cast in his box and it's related to that. But other than that, mate, I got no other answer. Mm. He had a walk on the treadmill Friday afternoon. I did him myself then, and I put him away. I checked him 6:30 Friday night. I was the last one to turn his light off and look at him. He was 100%. And then he's looking at me Saturday morning with a sad, sorry look on his face.
Quinny, you replaced Trapeze Artist as favourite after his win in the Premier. What's the market done after the weekend?
Yeah, so Trapeze Artist is now favourite again, almost by default, because Trapeze Artist has gone from 6 to 5, Red Zell from 5 to 6, Vega Magic on the next line of betting at 7, Nature Strip 8, In Her Time 11, Home of the Brave has been 51 into 15, subsequently 15 into 13. We'll go around this week. Santa and Elaine, a $13 chance, has been specced in from 15. Invincible Star, firm from 26 into 17 after the weekend. Nothing wrong with the run of Brave Smash. Blinker's still to go on, a $26 chance. Well, English was the disappointment on Saturday for mine, and she's gone from 17 to 26, but it's an intriguing market here, taking a look at the second edition of the Tab Everest.
I think she was found to be in C's in English too, so there might be an excuse there. Shark, your thoughts on the Everest picture at this stage?
I keep coming back to Trapeze Artist because of the way the race is likely to be run there. It's a high-pressure race, a lot of speed in it. We know that he is very, very good under that sort of circumstance. He can take a... He's got the gate speed to take a camp on a high speed, and then he improves and surges off it. I think that's the style of horse that you'll want. If you're getting too far back in the field in the Everest this year, and again, this is just working on who we know is in the field or what the likely field is at the moment. If you get too far back in the field, you might be gassed early as these horses go out and charging and then having to really pick up and try and get going from a bit further out than you would like. So it might be harder for those worse than midfield. I think he, you know, at this point, he maps really well, Quinny, for that sort of race.
There's probably no need to go charge into the odds about any of the top couple in the market right now because you'd anticipate you'll get that on the day.
Yeah. Well, along your lines, Shark, I like Santa Ana Lane. I just think he's going to get a nice run. He'll be.
But he always drifts, doesn't he? It's amazing.
Yeah, that's right. He's a triple Group 1 winner and he's always, you know, double figures. So I just think the way the race will be run, he'll be back and he can steam home. I just think he's a vastly improved horse and still incredibly underrated. So at the 13 at the moment, I reckon he's a good price and he'll get better on the day as well. So don't go too hard too early. We'll quickly whip through a couple of the other features as well because we're running out of time. The Epsom Pierrata was good on the weekend after his setback. Happy Clapper, disappointing, will be out for the spring after bleeding for both nostrils. Yeah. Kermentari, massive question mark. We don't know what's happening there. Le Romaine was excellent. And Siege of Quebec put his hand up with a big win on the weekend.
Yeah, and Siege of Quebec has been one of the firmest 51 into 15. But for mine, Pierrata was the run of the race. And Tab bookies haven't missed the quote as well. $11 into 8. But I still think the 8 looks relatively appealing. We'll start shorter than that on the day and be mighty hard to beat.
I would have thought so. Again, that mile form through the autumn around Kermentari. You know, it's probably a good level of form to take into this race. I still think Unforgotten, a fresh Unforgotten, is the horse to beat.
You're very keen on this mare from the Chris Hawley Yard.
Very, very good horse.
Very good. The Metrop, Quinny Avilius seems to have a mortgage on the race. Is he short?
Yeah, 4 into 280, so it depends what your definition of short will be, but considering started about $3 on Saturday, there's probably not a huge amount of urgency to go take the price now. Brigham Rocks has been a firmer, 15 into 8. Big Duke going well, 26 into 15. And Sedans has been a firmer as well, 15 into 8. But the Metrop, we know you're very keen, Shark, and 280 still available on what will hopefully be the winner.
Please give him strength for the next 2 weeks. It's all just need to get him there in the one piece. At odds, Hush Rider, if they go that way. It was good that he improved. He's not, you know, completely there yet mentally, but he was better again at Flemington on the 7 day backup from his lunatic run at the Valley.
And boys, let's finish up with the Flight Stakes. Miss Fabulous, gee, she was good on the weekend. One from a futures point of view, I Could Entertain for a place or an each-way ticket was Made of Heaven at a longer price. Quinny, what's the market?
Made of Heaven's a $15 chance, but Miss Fabulous has been 8 into 350. Fiesta now the equal second elect at $8 with Pretty in Pink.
And Shark, you're very keen on Miss Fabulous too.
Very keen. I think she justified her position as probably the best mile filly in the country with her win on the weekend, albeit at 14. It was a brilliant performance.
We always finish the show, at least the first two shows that we've done with... from a futures point of view, one to take away for the punters. Shark, can you leave us with one?
I really liked the Aussie debut of Order of the Garter. Got to do a little bit to get into the cups, but I think he's a horse that's got really good ability, and that was a fantastic run off what we'd heard had been some really good work at Macedon Lodge. So, yeah, nice horse, and he could sneak into a cup somewhere.
I'm the Mighty Quinn.
Gee, I missed that horse. He was an absolute superstar. Back the Autumn Sun for the Caulfield Guineas before he runs this Saturday. I think he'll win the Golden Rose on Saturday. He's $6 for the Caulfield Guineas. I think he'll start tighter than that.
Great
and also
point.
At $6, Victorum to take out the Tab Kosciuszko, trialled brilliantly yesterday.
Yeah, Jenny Graham.
I think could easily start favourite in that race and win that as well.
Made of Heaven each way in the flight for me. Boys, we are out of time. Thanks so much for joining us on the Futures Watch, and we will be back next week.